This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
Welcome back to another edition of PT Talker. I'm Jeff Worrell, and I'll be your host today as we talk to someone that I have admired from afar, never had the opportunity to talk to, but Gary Gray of Gray Institute. Welcome, Gary.
Oh, thanks, Jeff. It's really an honor to be here and to share with your listeners.
Well, I can't tell you how excited I am because you are known the world over as being an expert in and a leader in our field. And I got to tell you, I have admired your work and really excited to talk to you today. And but you know, I've always been curious. How does someone like you get to be so well known and so documented in our industry and quoted and referenced? Because the work that you've done is just amazing. Can you kind of tell us, how did you get started?
Well, first of all, you get old, and then when you get old, people kind of, you know, will pretty soon they either kind of totally ignore you or start, you know, believing a little bit of your heart. But I got started like a lot of physical therapists, just with the passion of wanting to just do the best I can for my patients, knowing that, especially in a small community, I was really kind of all they had. And so I just, when I went to school, I just loved school. I had great professors. And then, but when I got out of school, I think the smartest thing I did is to realize how dumb I was. And probably the best thing that I do now is to understand how dumb I still am, because there's just so much there to learn. And so I really went on a track of doing exactly what you're providing for us via different mechanisms. Of course, we didn't have computers back then. But,
Yeah. You
know, just learning more. Going to other people and just saying, just tell me what is the best way to take care of that person.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are most well-known for your work as chain reaction and closed-chain kinetic work. Tell us a little bit about, when did that dawn on you, or how did that come about?
Well, it was kind of interesting. I think it didn't dawn on me consciously. More subconsciously in that I wasn't smart enough to figure out why that didn't make sense to me. I remember in school them showing us a thing that we called the Cybex isokinetic knee machine.
Yeah.
And I intuitively sat back and said, but that's not how the knee works. The knee works in concert with the foot and the hip and relatively the rest of the trunk. And we may be doing the knee a disservice by taking its friends away. So it's almost like putting someone in an isolation prison. You know, isolation for isolation's sake may not be the best. And I couldn't articulate it back then on a biomechanical sense. I just kind of sat back and said, well, I've just never seen anybody sit on a table and make their knee do that before when I go out and play. And so quickly realized that the hip had a huge influence on the femur, which was the knee. The ankle had a huge influence on the tibia, which was the knee. And therefore, I started saying it'd be kind of fun if we started putting this together into what we would call a chain reaction.
Mm-hmm. And so define for us exactly what does chain reaction mean?
It really means, and I think you've alluded to it pretty nicely, it really means kind of the kinetic chain or putting the body together, or the old song, the foot bone's connected to the, you know,
yeah,
knee bone. It's understanding that, for instance, we believe that almost 100% of low back pain, the cause is not in the low back. So if I came to you for care, for treatment, and my low back was hurting me, a chain reaction or the kinetic chain would say, so the real question is what's causing the low back to break down, or that abnormal stress or that abnormal torsion or that abnormal function of the low back? And understanding how the whole body is integrated as a whole, we realize that through a kinetic chain or a chain reaction thought process, that we can go find the causes in other parts of the body. So as a therapist, I'm blessed with being able to treat the symptom at the back, but more importantly, at least for the longevity of the patient, I can actually treat the cause, which probably is somewhere else.
Now, how long have you been actually promoting the chain reaction type of theory?
Actually, since about 1976.
Okay.
My very first talk, I remember I gave to a lot of people, I had a foot fetish, and so I studied the foot a lot, but then I wanted to know how the foot influenced the rest of the body.
Uh-huh.
So as opposed to maybe some podiatrists who may really concentrate on the foot, I realized as a physical therapist I had the opportunity to understand the foot, how it related to the knee and the hip and the low back and literally the thoracic spine and the shoulders. So I can remember giving my first talk just about when the foot does this, what's going to happen at the knee and the hip and the low back, and that's when we kind of came up with the whole idea of the biomechanical three-dimensional kinetic chain, which we then kind of came up with our own phraseology. In fact, my dad came up with it, and it's just kind of like he just simply said, sure, it sounds like a chain reaction to me. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. That's when we kind of started that.
Yeah. Now, as you travel around and you talk to new students coming out of physical therapy school, are you hearing them use your terminology? Do they understand the concepts after this many years?
Yeah, the kids coming out are about 100 times more brilliant than we ever were. And the professors are really doing a nice job. The interesting thing is that we're caught in a little bit of dilemma professionally where the professors have to teach to the test. In other words, the test, I think, still has a lot of antiquated information on it. But in order to become a PT and get your license, you have to get through the tube. So the test will ask, what's the function of the hamstring?
Yeah.
You better put, you know, that it flexes the knee, but we know functionally it does just the opposite. Well, strangely enough, as we study the function of the muscles, we're finding out that most of the muscles do almost what is opposite of what we're taught. It's not that what we're taught was wrong, it's the context in which we were taught it. And so, but the kids coming out have a really good grasp of what's going on. They understand the three-dimensional and the chain reaction world so much better than we did. So the cool part is they really appreciate understanding, you know, how the human body really moves.
Yeah. Now, when you're doing an assessment, and I understand you probably have a lot of people coming to you that are looking for your expertise, when you do an assessment, are there some key indicators you're looking for when I have back pain, for example, that you're going to decide, oh, it's, you know, something not even affiliated with your back? Or what's some advice you could give to some of our listeners on that?
Actually, that's a brilliant question, because even though I would say to you, we're going to look at everything, then you kind of laugh and go, yeah, well, you know, I only have so many minutes in the day.
Yeah.
The key indicators are what we call the key links of the chain reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And the key links are the feet and the hips and the thoracic spine.
Okay.
So it's very rare, especially if you have any chronic low back pain, that I can't find some significant dysfunction in your thoracic spine. It's very rare that I can't find some significant dysfunction in your hips. And I usually can find something in the feet. Now, which one came first, the chicken or the egg, we're not sure. But in order to alleviate the low back pain and allow the low back to really function the way it was designed to function, we have to clear those three big rocks first before we can then move on to other things.
Now, I can maybe understand hips and certainly thoracic spine, but what is something you would see wrong with my feet that causes my back to hurt?
Well, the foot is kind of interesting. Like I said, early on I had a foot fetish, and then it became a butt fetish, and then it became a shoulder fetish. So that's mm-hmm. The chain reaction kind of went from the ground up. But the foot is probably one of the most intriguing functional organs of our body, because when you think about it, it's the interface between us and the ground if we walk. So between us and the earth, there's an interface that gets nailed first. So if your foot doesn't begin doing the right things, then the rest of the body is destined to fail. Doesn't matter how good the rest of the body is. And so if I have a foot that's basically not loading properly and causes an abnormal load up the chain, I'm in trouble. If I have a foot that loads too much and doesn't come out of that load, or what we call that triplane loading, I'm going to have a big problem. So it's really intriguing. The foot, most of us in school, we learn it has 26 bones. There's a right one. Some people have a left one as well. You know, it kind of does something, and we learned it kind of up on a table. It does this motion here and this motion there type. Well, as soon as it gets to the ground, really your foot is your butt's best friend and your thoracic spine's best friend. And so people, when they talk about core training, the first thing we think of is the foot, because the foot really is the thing between your entire body and the environment that you live on, the ground that you come in contact with and that you create the chain reaction with.
Yeah. Now, you do a lot of teaching, I know, and teach these concepts. Are you still finding new things, or is this still a developing theory?
Oh yeah, it's almost kind of half humbling, half frustrating, because what we're finding out is that we don't know a lot, which is for us is really good, because I really believe that I'll probably know maybe 5 to 7% of what I need to know before I die.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the fun part about teaching, is that hopefully I can hand the baton on to others, and they can add a few more percent to that. And so the field of the human body, understanding the movement, we call it the applied functional science or the movement science of the human body, is so in its infancy that it's fun to be a part of. We always tell people that we're learning new truths, but the truths don't change. In other words, truth stays constant. It's just us finding the truth and interpreting what's really going on and being able to then leverage that information to help our patients.
Yeah. Yeah, and do you find that you are always able to figure something out that gives some relief using these concepts?
No. I wish I would. most empowering things that I think I'm starting to learn even more is I now have a much better ability to evaluate a patient and look them square in the eye and tell them I can't help them.
Wow.
Which, on one hand, you'd think, well, that's kind of not what you're supposed to be doing. But it's pretty, it's pretty empowering to really know that I have at least my arm around understanding this dysfunction well enough that I'm not the person you need to go see. Now, what's even more empowering then is to look at the patient and say, but this therapist down the road who is a competitor but has a better skill set in doing this would be better. Or you need to go see this chiropractor, or you need to see this physiatrist, or you need to go, you know, see this athletic trainer, or here's what you really need to do at your own home, because what I'm going to be able to do for you is not going to get you to where you want to go. So
yeah.
I wish I could say our approach helps everybody, but at least our approach at least it helps us identify who we can help and who we can't help.
Yeah, sure. And in just the short amount of time we have left, are you happy, satisfied with the state of our industry right now with the world of physical therapy? Are you proud of it?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I just talked to a young man on the phone this morning who's going to go into physical therapy, and he was just asking me some really, really good questions. And when we finally got done, I said, I can really make this simple for you. I said, I'm an old guy. And I said, but if you gave me an opportunity to live my life over again and allow me to be anything I'd want to be, I simply said I'd be a physical therapist. Because what's neat about our profession is each therapist makes it what they want to make it, and there's always room to grow. And, you know, there's just so many unique opportunities that we as a therapist have. To me, it's a privilege to have somebody come in your midst and say, hey, I'm in pain. Could you please help me? And that might be the greatest honor that anybody has given, that, wow, you're going to let me help you, especially when you're in pain. So the state of the profession, as far as I'm concerned, couldn't be better.
That's great. Well, certainly you've taken advantage of the opportunities presented to you and helped our profession, so that's great. You know, Gary, we were going to talk about your new program, the three-dimensional program, but we are out of time. Is there any way I could talk you into coming back next week for our listeners and telling us about that?
It would be a privilege.
All right, great.
I'd be more than happy to do that.
Wonderful. All right, all you guys out there, ladies and gentlemen, you just heard me twist his arm and without much effort got Gary to agree to come back for another episode next week. So we'll be talking about what is that? Give us a little tease.
Well, most of us learn function in what we call one plane of motion. Because the body goes forward, we kind of believe that things are in the sagittal plane. So if you go to a health club, most equipment's made in the sagittal plane. Most exercises are done in the sagittal plane. Most assessment techniques are done in the sagittal plane. But the reality is we live in a three-dimensional world, and we're a three-dimensional being. And so understanding how the body works in all three planes of motion is really empowering, because it gives you so many other opportunities to help a patient.
Great. So if you are interested in that and what Gary has to say about that, make sure you tune in next week. And if you have any questions for Gary or something that you would like to know, feel free to send me an email at feedback@pttalker.com, or you can certainly go to Gary Gray's website, which is Gray, tell me if I have this right, Gary, Gray, www.thegreatinstitute.com. Is that correct?
That's it.
Okay. Very good. Well, thank you so much, Gary. We will look forward to talking to you next week. And this is Jeff Worrell, as I do each and every week, bringing you news and ideas for therapists. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.